You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. It's hour one, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, glad to have you on board. Stay a while if you can. A lot of topics to dive into. We'll talk to the Hall of Famer Johnny Bench a little bit later on. We'll talk to Chris Mannix. He covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. Sean Salisbury, he is a talk show host in Houston, former NFL quarterback, on the possibility of the Texans trading J.J. Watt. Yes, Paulie.
Excuse me?
Yes. Sorry to break the news to you, but the Houston Chronicle is saying maybe that's what the Texans should be doing. Will Fuller is a wide receiver that you might be able to trade him, and the Green Bay Packers reportedly are interested in him. If I'm the Texans, I would trade J.J. Watt. Depending on what I can I get a first-round draft pick for J.J. Watt? And if I can, I'm going to trade J.J. Watt. Bill O'Brien's not there any longer, and I think you got to decide, are you trying to reload or rebuild? And I think coming into this season, we thought that they were reloading. This is a mess, though. This is a mess going forward with the Texans. Salary cap issues. They don't have draft picks. But I could see J.J. Watt. You could send him to Seattle, Green Bay, maybe have him with his brother in Pittsburgh. Yep, yes.
That was my wild card.
Yeah, sure, why not? But we'll talk to Sean Salisbury about that. And the Rockets got a new head coach. He's Steve Silas, Paul Silas' son. And I don't know what kind of system he's going to bring in there, but I don't think he can bring in a system. I think he's basically got to say, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, let's run it back. And that's what's going to happen there. We'll talk to Mannix about Daryl Morey, who left Houston, and he was the architect of that Rockets roster. Now he's in Philadelphia. And I think everybody's under the assumption now the 76ers are going to be playing like the Houston Rockets. Daryl Morey's a bright guy. I don't think he's going to go, let's bring Rockets ball to Philadelphia. I don't know what the plan is with Doc Rivers, but he'll have a plan to be able to incorporate Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. You at least give it 1 year. They have some big salary cap issues there with Al Horford, Tobias Harris, but can you make it work? And what will that roster look like? What will their playing style look like? So Mannix will join us coming up a little bit later on. And Johnny Bench, one of my boyhood idols, is selling all of his memorabilia, and we wanted to talk to him about that. And he'll join us coming up in the final hour of the program. Got some news about Justin Turner and what kind of punishment for him from a source last night. Got some information about Nebraska football. I'll have that for you coming up here in a moment. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. We appreciate your patronage. And also those listening on our 360. I lost track. Is it 367 radio affiliates around the country?
Sure.
All right. And, of course, the formidable Fox Sports Radio lineup. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. And we talked about this yesterday. I'd gotten word at 10:10 Eastern time yesterday morning that the Wisconsin-Nebraska game was in jeopardy and that Graham Mertz, the starting quarterback for Wisconsin, had tested positive. And my source said that it's likely that he had tested positive prior to the game and had been around everybody in team activities during the week. And you had a couple other quarterbacks who had tested one other quarterback tested positive, and then you found out that the head coach had tested positive. And now I think there's a bigger concern. My source told me last night, I'll give you the information, that Nebraska wanted to schedule a non-conference game this week. When they got the news yesterday, Nebraska was actively canvassing college football to see if they could get somebody to come to Lincoln to play a football game. As of now, have not heard anything, but that's what my source said. Also, my source said the 21-day isolation in the Big Ten was an overreaction to myocarditis, and they did this when there wasn't any data known. My source says, I can't imagine the Wisconsin-Purdue game next week will be played. Now, there is a report that debunks the cardiac concerns and that Wisconsin is saying, I believe Wisconsin is saying, that, you know, this 21-day window before players can come back from a positive virus test, that that testing may not be needed for many. And that they're going to try to limit the number of days that you have to sit out. Because if you're out 21 days, and let's say you lose 30 players, that's half your season, basically. It's three games that you're going to have to sit out. And then your coach is going to have to sit out. And Wisconsin may have put the entire Big Ten season in jeopardy here. Because if you're not going to be able to play, this really comes down to, we thought Wisconsin was an outlier maybe for playing in the Final Four. We know Ohio State has the talent to play in the Final Four. You have to have enough games here. And if you're only going to play seven, and then you're going to have the championship weekend where everybody plays, now I'm going to take away one game, two games. I take away three games. Now I'm down to five games. And now you're just going through the motions. You know, the Pac-12 hasn't even started yet. It's not starting this week. The Pac-12 doesn't start until the following week here. And that's basically a cash grab. Let's just go out, get some money, you know, try to get some, you know, money from our TV partners here, because nobody's going to be playing for anything in the Pac-12 except for a hollow Pac-12 championship. But that's the information I have. Nebraska, as of yesterday morning when they found out, started calling to see if they could get somebody to come to Lincoln to play. Yes, McLovin.
So Wednesday, how do you game prep for a brand new opponent on Saturday? That seems crazy.
This whole season is crazy. Yeah, see.
But like, do they really expect there just to be a team sitting around right now that's like, oh yeah, we'll play?
If Army was available, Army would play. I don't know if Army has a game this weekend, but it feels like Army would be there. BYU would be there. Arkansas State. Like, it feels like there's like six teams that play, you know, at least twice a week. Yes, Paul.
Army's got the weekend off. They just housed Mercer, and they're getting ready to take take down Air Force in 2 weeks. Army's got the weekend off. We can call them up.
Yeah, maybe.
Grease the skids a little bit, Dan.
Yeah, well.
How about North Dakota State?
Ooh.
They got that almost like exemption where they played one game, so they're able to have full practices. North Dakota State, I don't know if Nebraska would want them to come down.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for. Like, Wisconsin was coming to town. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, we can't get them. Let's get North Dakota State. But I don't know how any of this works. This is just what my source told me. That now Wisconsin is trying to, I don't know if they're petitioning the Big Ten, but I think that they're trying to talk to the medical experts in the Big Ten and, you know, try to debate this or debunk this or maybe not have it as a 21-day window. It's not, you know, based off of COVID, but this condition due to COVID, and they don't think that there's enough data there. But that's some of the stuff that's going on right now. And in many ways, Big Ten football is a microcosm of the uncertain situation surrounding COVID and really every sport. You have a sound policy today, and then that makes no sense tomorrow. First, you cancel the season. And then, in part because of political pressure, you bring it back. Not everybody was on board. And by the time the season rolled around, the numbers were getting worse in some of these states. And Wisconsin, Nebraska canceled for this weekend. I'm assuming the Badgers are going to have a hard time playing against Purdue the following week. But hopefully what happened in Wisconsin is isolated. But, you know, the strict guidelines make returning to play really complicated here. And there's no easy answers. I don't have any answers. I just deal in reality. Colleges, they don't have the flexibility that the pro sports leagues do. They can't take off 4 months and come back. Students are there. They move on too quickly. None of this is going to be easy, especially for the Big Ten, whose inconsistency could end up hurting their chances of competing completing the 2020 season. And we brought this up at the beginning. When the Big Ten announced that they were canceling, I just wanted to know, how aggressive were you at exploring all options? Because you could build in bye weeks, safeguard weeks, where if something happened, then you had an opportunity to regroup. And you don't have that because you waited, you waited, you waited. And then there was political pressure. And then you decided to come back. Not everybody was on board. We didn't know that there were going to be hot states that are getting hotter and students coming back. You know, you can't bubble. And that's the big difference. In college, you can't bubble. Baseball, you can. Basketball, you can. Hockey, you can. But with college football, you can't. And it's not a matter of if, but when you have an outbreak here. And we've seen it, you know, sort of sporadically. But the Big Ten is just starting. And if you have some of these hot states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, it's not a question of if, but when and how many. But that's the information I have so far with what's going on with Wisconsin and also what Nebraska was trying to do. And I don't think you can schedule a game today and have it played on Saturday. I'm thinking that they thought if they could get somebody yesterday, then maybe you could give them a couple of days to prepare for you. And even if you had a Saturday night game where you gave them a little extra time, they could travel on Saturday to get into Lincoln. But I don't know where that stands. And I'll check, you know, with my source this morning and see if there's any more information with them. All right, McLovin, you got a poll question today.
Okay, for hour one, how about we put up that J.J. Watt question that you asked? What's a bigger question? Would you take a first-round pick for J.J. Watt if you're Houston, or would you give up a first-round pick for J.J. Watt if you're the teams you mentioned, Green Bay, somebody like that?
I need to know how healthy he is. If you say that he's healthy as a, what, 32-year-old? Is he 31 or 32? If you say he's healthy at that age, then yes, I'd give up a first-round pick. You know, if I'm a team like Green Bay, somebody who needs help, you know, Seattle just picked up Carlos Dunlap. Now, he's an edge rusher. You could always use another one. I mean, that's probably the worst pass defense in the NFL. And if you can bring him in there and he's going to help you, you have to be a team that's on the verge of winning. And this is one of those where if I'm Kansas City, I'd go, I'm going to blow everybody out of the water. Like, I'm taking no prisoners here. We're going to ensure that we're going back to the Super Bowl. And I want to keep him from, you know, one of our opponents here. And if I give up a first-round pick for him, I get J.J. for maybe 2 years. All right. I got a chance to win Super Bowls. And that's what Kansas City said. And I don't know if Kansas City's interested in him. And I thought about the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are such a mess that it doesn't make sense to bring him in unless you say, well, and Jerry likes shiny things. And you take him from the Texans. I got Captain America on America's team. But that's not going to help that team. You know, they're so inefficient on offense that J.J. Watt is not going to help them. But if you said, hey, I can put him on the Steelers, Seattle, Green Bay, Kansas City, I'd be all in with that. And if I only have to give up a first-round draft pick, yeah, I'd do that. Yeah, Paul.
You know, as much as Packers fans may want to bring Watt back there, I don't know if that works for that team. They used a first-round pick on a quarterback who's not playing anytime soon. The second-round pick on a running back who's third string now. They didn't draft a wide receiver. And if they trade draft capital for a non-wide receiver right now, I don't know how that's going to play.
But if he helps your defense, you know, their wide receivers appear to be a lot better than people are giving credit for.
Put Watt back at tight end. Ooh, like the old days.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah. And he was at, what, Central Michigan? Yes, McLovin.
I mean, it does seem like they sort of redeemed themselves for the wide receiver thing because they have like the best passing and most efficient passing attack. Pittsburgh seems like they killed the quarterback already. Do they need to? Would J.J. Watt even help them? I don't even know.
Well, they lost Bush for the season.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker, but I don't know. I'm just throwing teams out. Reunite, you know, J.J. with his brother, T.J., who's there.
Also, all these teams would be like the end of the first round. It's not like a high first round pick. It's like really a second round pick.
Yes. But if I'm Seattle, then I would certainly roll the dice on something like this. You know, is Jamal Adams, how injured is he?
I'm not sure.
Because Dunlap's a good pickup for Seattle. He wanted out of Cincinnati, and that's a good pickup for them. But they need a lot of help because that secondary, that pass defense is really, really bad. Of all the contenders, it's not even close where Seattle is and what they give up with all the other teams that we consider Super Bowl contenders. Yeah, McLovin.
Jamal Adams could be back as early as this week. Okay. So that's not long term.
Okay. This program brought to you by Traeger. Expand your recipe playbook, the 6-in-1 versatility of a Traeger wood pellet grill. Right now, get free shipping when you enter the promo code Dan at checkout. Head to TraegerGrills.com/DP show to start shopping or check out one at a dealer near you. What other poll questions do you have?
Okay, I have an NFL one that we can save about which underdogs have the best shot this weekend.
Okay. The Jets were 21-point underdogs.
They were not on the poll. as a team most likely to win the game.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, now it's down to 19.5?
I heard that it was bet down to 19.5. Which is, I guess, the biggest Jets-Patriots spread since Randy Moss was in New England.
But no, this isn't Jets-Patriots.
Oh, the biggest Jets underdog spread.
Yeah.
But there have been bigger spreads. 2013 Broncos-Jags was bigger than this. So it's not the biggest spread ever, but it's pretty big.
But was the Broncos-Jags spread, was that the biggest ever? Was that like 26.5?
Yeah, something? That's what I'm seeing. That was the biggest spread on record. 28-point home favorites.
Oh, and the Jags covered.
Yeah, they beat them by 16.
Yeah. Broncos won by 16.
Can't you see the Chiefs just getting ugly with the Jets and keeping that within 20?
Oh, you mean the game is ugly?
I mean, like the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean, remember the Chiefs-Patriots game? They sort of ran the ball. The Chiefs have shown that they're not going to go aerial every game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it feels like there's a little bit of a difference here. You're going against Bill Belichick, and it's ugly, and you're going against Adam Gase. That doesn't seem fair. Feels like Belichick could come up with something different, which he did, and probably could have won that game if he had Cam in there. We've yet to see the Chiefs play at their best, which is kind of scary, but we haven't. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we've gotten almost numb to the fact that he's so good that you forget how, you know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers' start, Tom Brady's start, Russell Wilson's start, and then look at the numbers with Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's just a casual greatness that's there, and his numbers are normally you'd go, wow, that's a great start to the season. Yeah, McLovin,
16 touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah, but we don't talk about him.
Nope.
Like that, you know, we fawn all over Brady and Rodgers and Russell Wilson Jr. the third, and then Mahomes is like, I don't know, we're winning and I got thrown one pick and 16 touchdowns. Yes, Todd.
And you get spoiled with them even when they get a touchdown. If they don't do it like in 3 or 4 minutes, yeah, you start wondering, why did it take like 6-7 minutes for them to get in the end zone?
Yes, Paulie.
It's interesting, though. Mahomes 2 years ago threw 50 touchdowns. Last year, 26. If you prorate it, he was injured 2 games. It would have been 30. He's on pace for 31 this year.
Yeah.
They're not crazy numbers. They're not out-of-hand numbers.
But they're efficient numbers.
Totally.
Russell Wilson is having a season where he could put up, you know, 50, 45 touchdowns.
I did it. He's on pace for 58, I believe.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, or something crazy. Yeah. I'll have to double check that. I'm not an analytics guy.
All right, we'll settle on a poll question here, but we'll talk some NBA. They're trying to start the season around Christmas because it's so valuable financially for the NBA, and the players do not want to start Christmas time. Plus, if LeBron doesn't want to show up for, if LeBron's not coming down your chimney on Christmas, then they're not playing on Christmas. Just not going to happen. He hasn't had Christmas off in over a decade. And I think with what's happened with this season, you know, well, we'll talk to Mannix about that. A couple other things basketball-wise. And Johnny Bench will join us later on. Sean Salisbury joins us next. Are the Texans interested exploring the possibility of trading J.J. Watt? That plus what baseball can and might do to Justin Turner and the Dodgers. I'll have that for you coming up as well. 20 after the hour, just getting started. Dan and the Danette, Dan Patrick Show. Last week in the books, we got football coming up tonight. Get in on all the action with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings, it's really simple. You go to the App Store now and you download it. And you're ready to go. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now. Use the code SQUAD. For a limited time, new users get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all the action. You enter the promo code SQUAD. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Didn't DraftKings refund all the bettors who had Penn State against Indiana? I was really surprised with that, the controversial two-point conversion. Yeah, Paul.
I have a couple bets I'd want my money back on from the 80s. Scott Pollard of Kansas, that he didn't make that dunk.
The promo code is SQUAD, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I know what you're thinking. It's not fair. He's got that voice, and he looks that good today in that flannel shirt. I know. You're right. Bass Pro Shops in Cabela is your flannel destination for the whole family this fall. And right now, they have the annual Flannel Fest at retail locations across North America. Shop the current flannel deals in-store or online today.
That was a nice compliment for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Todd. Todd's got flannel on today as well. I brought everybody, you know, when now I have four kids, and sometimes you'd bring them into a store and they'd all scatter. Like you're trying to take inventory, like yelling for where are they? We go into Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, and I bring in the Danettes, and all of a sudden they scatter in the flannel department, and I don't see them. Like McLovin is like 50 feet away from me. Todd's hiding, and you know, they're trying on flannel shirts. We took over that store. All right, 877-3DP show, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Should the Houston Texans consider trading J.J. Watt? Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, the former NFL quarterback, kind enough to join us. All right, Sean, should they consider trading him?
Yeah, well, first off, Dan, I got a voice like Fergie and Jesus, okay? And I don't have a flannel shirt on. It's good to be on. I think they should, Dan. Here's what I think fan bases and people need to get over is that loyalty thing, right? Oh, my gosh, we can't let the guy who is fabulous in the community, three-time defensive player of the year. But then you start to say, because I can promise you in Houston, considering what Bill O'Brien left the franchise assets-wise and the way they're paying them and they're 1-6, because they are who they are. J.J.'s never winning a Super Bowl here, and he's 31, and with the injury background. Now, he is still a hell of a player. The problem is every year that goes by, the value starts to diminish. So if you're a team like, let's say, Pittsburgh, Seattle went and got Dunlap, or the 49ers without Bose, and you say, we're close, we're a player or two away, and especially in a league that doesn't play much defense, J.J. Watt can help. So what do you get? You're desperate. Maybe you give up a second rounder. You're never going to get a first. But, Dan, next year it's going to be a fourth rounder or a fifth rounder. We just don't give assets away. So I would. The Texans are going to have to rebuild. They're going to get rid of a lot of these guys in the offseason. They're trying to find a general manager and a coach. I would do it as hard as it is for people to say, oh, my gosh, J.J., this, you can't do that. When J.J. retires and goes into the Hall of Fame, he'll come back a Texan, right? You can and you should. This team has no assets, no draft picks in the first couple rounds. It's time, and J.J. Watt – outside of Deshaun Watson and Tunsil, you're not trading, is your biggest value, or maybe Will Fuller. It has to happen, but I don't think it's going to, Dan.
Why?
Because they're afraid to death of the owner, first of all, is not heavily involved. I don't think Jack Easterby really wants to be involved. And by the time the deadline is going to pass, by the time a general manager and head coach are, and I think they're so PR conscious about it and their loyalty that I think the PR hit for them, they think, would be too big. The truth of the matter is, if they want to do the right thing, most fans in this town, once they got over the initial shock, would say, it's about time. And if you could milk a second rounder, I don't think they have to. And Dan, there may be some buzz nationally, but you know, there is minimal, if no buzz here locally. I've tried to create some. It ain't working very good, I promise you.
Yeah, I just look at this and say, you know, we're not going anywhere. Agreed. What if J.J. quietly, privately said, look, if you want to trade me, don't worry. You don't have fans in the stands, Sean, so the hit you're going to take is not going to be seen. It's not a visual. They're not showing up for football games here. Maybe the local ratings might not be great, but if I'm the Texans, I got to start thinking the next 5 years, not next week or the next year. And I think Will Fuller, if Green Bay is willing to give you anything for him, thank you, Will, some nice parting gifts, absolutely.
Dan, I'm 100% with you, 100%, because you look at this, you got to, you know, everybody begs for a franchise quarterback, right? You got him, but you're going to waste him.
Yeah.
Because no matter, and he's one of the top, you know, he's putting up yards and average yards per attempt. Look what it's getting them. They beat Jacksonville. Now look at the other side. Even with J.J. Watt out there, as Bill Belichick always said, I can take your best player away on defense. So what are they doing? You double him. They couldn't stop me, you, or Katie High School on a Friday night from running the ball against them. So if that's the case, let's start to get assets and rebuild and learn now. You got a franchise quarterback, and I'm with you. Somebody, Will Fuller's going to ask for a lot of money next year, Dan. And they're already so invested money-wise at the wide receiver position, and they're 1-6. I can find rookies to go 1-6. He's going to want, what, $15, $16, $17 million? No. Go get an asset, trade him for a second or a third-round pick, and keep it moving. Son, we got to move on. And if you want to build a franchise, there's no reason to wait, because this team, I can't even visualize where they're going in the next 3 or 4 years with no assets. I know one thing. I got a left tackle and a quarterback. That ain't doing me any good. I can win one game with me at quarterback.
But I also wonder, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator with the Chiefs, he's going to have an opportunity to take his pick probably. Let's say the Jets are open. I don't know if Jacksonville is going to be open. Atlanta's open. The Texans is open. You know, that situation's open. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, you start to look at the inventory you have here with what's the future, what's my salary cap, what kind of draft picks, who do I have? I don't know if Eric Bieniemy goes, boy, Texans, that's the place I want to go.
Yeah, and then you start to look at Atlanta too, right, Dan? I mean, that's a situation. You're exactly right. The one thing that drives you to the Texans is the number four, right? You say number four. Then you say, well, the front office, how committed are they? What's the general manager? What's his longevity here?
But if I go to the Jets or Jacksonville, I may have Trevor Lawrence, and I'd rather have Trevor Lawrence than Deshaun Watson.
Dan, I posed the question yesterday on my show. Would you trade Trevor Lawrence straight up for Deshaun Watson? The Jets wouldn't. The Texans should, right? But it's not going to happen. That's a foregone conclusion. So, yeah, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, while it seems like, well, the best quarterback of all the guys you named is Deshaun Watson, but if you go to the Jets, it's a team. There's no expectations right off the bat. You go get Trevor Lawrence, and maybe Trevor Lawrence makes that a free agent destination as well, and you have far more assets, and he's a generational-type player. Watson maybe as well, but I'm with you. I don't think it's the lead dog anymore considering the situation here. Although Bieniemy's going to get a job, I'm not sure that Houston will be the first one on the list now.
He's Sean Salisbury. You can hear him on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, the Sean Salisbury Show. While we're talking about trading iconic figures here, would the Rockets consider trading James Harden? I don't think they could trade Russell Westbrook, but would they consider trading James Harden?
Been a huge topic now with Stephen Silas, named the head coach, Dan, on my show this morning, of why not? If you're going to go and just get there, right? Because they're not winning an NBA title with the roster, how it's constructed and the small ball, and they don't have. Think about the lack of draft picks. The Astros with the problems with the sign stealing. The Rockets, who've gotten rid of all, they don't have any assets coming in, and the Texans. Dan, we ain't got a draft pick till 2040. Okay, grandkids are going to be playing by then, so they won't. Dan, he's got more power. I think James loves being powerful. And he is powerful in this organization. And once he walks out the door, what assets are you going to get for him that are going to help you win, get to a championship? Because he goes out, his value is not going to get four first-round picks. Where are they going to be picked? Is it the Knicks? Who's he going to? And they love him here. And you say, well, are you going to get an offensive player? Would nobody trade? It's like quarterbacks. Rarely do you trade a superstar that can score for you. And whether it's teams coming here or James going out, he's not going anywhere right now either. Even with Daryl Morey out of the building and on his way to Philly and a new head coach coming in, and they're going to build it around James Harden. They're going to win 50 games. They're going to get to the playoffs and they're going to be eliminated. I would consider it. If you're going to rebuild, let's go now. But with that salary and with the love of this city and his offensive performance, James Harden is not going anywhere. Although that's another one that they should consider.
Great to talk to you as always, Sean. You got a couple of topics there to dive into on your show, certainly.
Yep, absolutely. Why are you smirking? I got a lot of topics.
I'm not smirking.
I am. I am going to dive into all of them, but thank you. It's great to be on your show.
Now I'm smirking.
Always appreciate it.
Now I'm smirking.
Yes, you are. There you go. I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks,
thank
brother.
You, buddy. That's Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 Houston, former NFL quarterback Quentin in Houston joining us. Hey, Quentin.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Good, sir.
Good. Hey, it's actually kind of a nice surprise. I used to actually intern for Sean Salisbury a few years back when he was on FM radio.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to call and talk about the J.J. Watt trade. So I'm actually a Kansas City fan living in Houston, and it's kind of odd to hear the local sports talk radio here talk about the Texans every day, because from what I'm hearing, I'm not so sure that the Texans will get a first-round pick for J.J. Watt, unless, of course, they package the deal with like a Kenny Stills or a Will Fuller. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, they might not. I mean, I'm thinking if you get a late first-round pick, that's sort of like a second-round pick. But thanks for the phone call, Quentin. You're not going to get somebody in the top 15 who's going to give up a draft pick, first-round draft pick for J.J. Watt. But you might get a first-round pick, or maybe you get a second-round pick this year and you get some fourth-round pick down the road there. But you got to start thinking, what is the future with some of these teams? Like, what is the future with the Jets? What's the future with Jacksonville? What's the future with Atlanta? You have to start thinking now. What's the future with the Texans? Because if you don't act now, people are going to pass you by. Somebody's going to get Trevor Lawrence. They start to rebuild. Justin Fields is going to go to the Jets or Jags, one of these teams. Then they're ready to go because they have that rookie salary at the quarterback position. And I just think that everything is predicated on that. That you build your team because you can build it around a rookie quarterback. And then when he comes up for his big payday, you try to hold on to some of these players that you've already paid. That's the blueprint. And if you find that rookie quarterback, the Bengals are in good shape from the standpoint of they found their quarterback. The Chargers are in great shape. They found their quarterback. We don't know about the Dolphins yet, but that's why they're playing right now. They want to find out if you're the guy, because if you're not, like, Baker Mayfield is probably playing for his future with the Cleveland Browns this year. And I'm not being overly dramatic. Sam Darnold's playing for his future right now with the Jets, because they want to know, are you the guy? If not, then we're going to be in position to get one of these quarterbacks. Everybody's looking for one. And when you find one, then you can go about your regular business and start building a team, building a roster. But that's the most important part. And Houston has their quarterback. They paid their quarterback. They don't have draft picks. They have salary cap issues. They don't have a head coach. And if I am Eric Bieniemy, I don't want the Texans job, even though I have Deshaun Watson. Because if I'm Eric Bieniemy and I can coach Trevor Lawrence and have a rookie contract, there, even with the Jets, if you said I could have Trevor Lawrence and I'd go to the Jets, or I could have Deshaun Watson and go to the Texans, I'm going to take my chance with my quarterback, and that I'm not paying an exorbitant amount of money. That's the philosophy. That's the blueprint. That's what it comes down to with all these teams. Yes, McLovin.
Jets have almost $60 million in cap space next year.
But here's the thing. You must have a smart GM, because your smart GM is as valuable as your quarterback, because he's got to make all these moves. I mean, you can't bring in Le'Veon Bell for $15 million a year and then not play him. You can't whiff on a draft pick. You have to have, and you have to create an environment where players want to stay there, maybe even go there. Jamal Adams couldn't wait to get out because he knew. He knows. But if I don't have that GM who can create stability, you can always count on. I mean, the Ravens are brilliantly run. You have an owner who lets his front office run the team. And that's been their success. They draft well. They're smart. They make trades. You know, Baltimore is one of the best run organizations in all of sports. And that's what you need to have. The Browns can have draft picks, high draft picks. They can have salary cap freedom. But if you don't have an owner who stays out of the way, and you don't have a GM who is a salary cap guy, a numbers guy, smart enough to understand what we need, how we can fit it in, you got to have a destination people want to go play in and stay in. And that's really important. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to the possibility of Watt being traded, you know, he's a little bit older. He's coming off some injured seasons, and he's quite expensive. You know the team that's most likely to trade for him? the Houston Texans. That's the team that would give up a lot of draft capital.
J.J. Watt has 99 career sacks. He's number 99, by the way. Since 2017, T.J. Watt has 40 sacks. J.J. Watt has 23.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, just to elaborate on that. But before 2017, J.J. Watt has 76 sacks and his brother had zero.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
And he had defensive.
Since T.J. has only been in the league since 2017.
You're nitpicking.
I don't know how many sacks he had at Wisconsin, though.
A bunch, probably.
TJ. Yeah, McLevin.
Where's the stat on how many times J.J. got double teamed, though?
Oh, God.
Because TJ is never double-teamed.
Why is it that we don't bring that up when Aaron Donald, we talk about his stats? Aaron Donald gets double-teamed more than any player in the game.
We bring it up all the time. That's why we call him the best player in the NFL. Everybody says that.
But we don't say his numbers are down because he's double-teamed.
Because they're weirdly not. He's leading the league in sacks every year, which is crazy.
Well, then that means, you know, if you're double-teamed, then you should still be able to, you know, produce results here.
Well, J.J. freed up everybody else to get to the quarterback.
Of course he did.
So Clowney could get
selfless.
Yeah. By the way, what happened to Jadeveon Clowney?
He can't stay on the field for more than like three plays in a row.
I'm telling you, you go back to that game against Michigan in the Outback Bowl, and it created this superhero, and he's not. He's not a great player. At times, he can be a good player. But he's more of a guy who stops the run. But he can't stay on the field. And I'm watching that Titans game. I forgot he played for the Titans. Yes, McLevin.
Yeah, Titans, though, they're 5-1 now. What if they like go on kind of a Super Bowlish run? Will he be redeemed there? Even if he's not a star and he makes one big sack in the playoffs or something?
Well, I guess. I don't know. But it feels like there was so much talk about, oh, who's going to get Jadeveon Clowney? He's going to stay in Seattle. Who's going to get Jadeveon Clowney? And then we don't even say anything about Jadeveon Clowney when the season starts. All right, we'll take a break. Play of the day coming up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Martinovic beaten here by Abraham. It's Pulisic, and it's four. And that is harsh on Krasnodar. But Christian Pulisic makes it 4-0 to Chelsea. Pulisic, good finish.
Yeah, Christian ties the most goals all time in the UEFA Champions League by an American player. I told you, Paul, he was going to be good.
You called it.
You said he'll never be as good as Landon Donovan. Yeah, he might turn out to be better. That's courtesy of CBS Sports Network. I actually snuck a peek at the UEFA Champions League last night. And I was searching around. What did you guys watch last night? Anybody watch? Now, I did watch a little Cobra Kai because I had to get in at least one episode. Paulie?
Well, West Wing season 5, which is horrendous if you're a West Wing fan. My wife and I are watching the entire series again. Mm. And when Aaron Sorkin left, he took the creativity with him. He didn't leave any.
Seton, what'd you watch last night?
Watched a lot of soccer yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Started at like 2 o'clock and pretty much went straight through. But then we watched this show on HBO called The Undoing.
That's with Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Heavy.
McLovin?
We're watching The Right Stuff on Prime, I think.
Hmm.
The astronaut stuff. It's pretty good. It's a little soap opera-y.
Oh, so this isn't the movie?
No, sorry. There's a new series that sort of broke up the movie into like 8 parts.
Okay.
And it's a little different than the movie. But it's more like focused on the wives and the husbands' relationships. And those astronauts were not great husbands. I don't know.
No, but they were stars.
Yeah.
Back in the late 60s, early 70s, if you were an astronaut, an athlete walks into a bar, a politician, an astronaut, you want to be the astronaut. Yeah, Paulie.
Well, it could, the blame could go either way. These guys may be bad guys, but maybe they married, you know, the woman, wrong woman, said, I got to get out of here, man. I got to get as far away from her as I can.
I'm going all the way to the moon.
You know what? How can I get as far away from her? NASA? You're hiring? Get me to the moon. Honey, call Buzz.
Honey, I applied for a job at NASA. Oh, what are you going to do? I'm thinking about being an astronaut.
Be back in 9 months.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
There's a scene where one of the astronauts walking on the street. It's like the Beatles. Women are crying and like hundreds of women are chasing him down the street.
I just remember meeting Neil Armstrong at Pebble Beach, and he wanted no attention whatsoever. He was not comfortable with it, but it still goes back to Peter Jacobson. He's a friend of mine, and Jacobson, a former professional golfer. And here's Neil Armstrong, and you could tell he wanted to play in the tournament. He just didn't want to be bothered by anybody, which seems kind of strange because there's so many people that go to the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And Jacobson says, hey, Neil, this is Dan Patrick. Hey, Neil, why don't you tell him about walking on the moon? And you can just see him where he's going, what? And Peter goes, I'm just joking. Tell him about the 6-iron you hit on the moon. He loves telling that story. Oh, it just the look on Neil Armstrong's face was, oh, no, that's the last thing I want to do. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, we're talking about child actors peaking early. Like, what do you do after you walk on the moon? I mean, there's not a lot left to achieve, right?
No, and I wonder if psychologically, mentally, that astronauts went through something like that, that you have, and athletes do this. I mean, when you think about an athlete, they're on an emotional high. They could be 23 years of age and never reach that peak again. And then what happens when your career ends? What happens when you don't go to the moon anymore? Now you come back down, you literally come back down to Earth. Yes, Bully. See what I did with that?
How old do you think Neil Armstrong was when he walked on the moon? Just off top of your head. First
38.
38 is correct.
Whoa!
Nailed it.
Ding 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 ding.
You're our moon guy.
I am.
McLovin's a shark guy.
I am the moon guy. I am. Yes, Seton.
But there's certainly a generation of people that got to watch all of this stuff happen that must have been like just out of, I mean, not out of this world, that sounds so stupid, but like.
Nice work, Fritzy.
But like, I mean, you know, could you imagine walking on the moon? And now for me growing up, it was like, yeah, of course that happened, but.
Well, what's the point?
The point is that I can understand why these dudes were heroes at the time, that now it's sort of like they're not as heroish.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because you're meeting somebody and you can't help but look up and go, he was up there. And I'm meeting Neil Armstrong and I'm going, that dude was on the moon. And you can't help but have that go, I don't want to fanboy this guy. And I think he's from Ohio. I think he was from like Wapakoneta or something. Yes, Paulie.
I can't believe I'm about to say this. It passed from my head. Do you think anyone's ever mooned Neil Armstrong? Like, his high school buddies. Here you go, moon guy. Yeah.
How about this moon?
Yeah. Check out
this. Why don't you orbit this moon there, Neil?
Sounds like a Sandler thing, like in his next movie. You mooned Neil Armstrong. This is crazy.
1 hour in the books, and we only have two more to go.